Blog Talk Radio.
Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of light we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Woman to woman,
songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy.
Woman to woman, yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Partner in crime? Okay, I thought I had my partner in crime in the studio with me. Maybe she's having some technical difficulties, but we're not going to let that stop our show on tonight. We are excited. We are ready for tonight's show. As you all may know, if you tuned in last week, we had a pre-recorded show on last week. We had some things that came up that were beyond our control, and we were unable to be live in the studio with you all, and we missed you. We've missed you very much. Again, last week we had some things that we had to deal with, some medical emergencies, as well as business travels. But we are back, and we are excited, and my partner in crime is in the studio. Partner in crime, are you in the studio?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great. I can hear you great on tonight.
Thank you very much. I was just speaking away just a few moments ago, and I am so sorry that you guys couldn't hear me. I am indeed traveling this week, and like Coach D said, and of course, for those of you who know me and for those of you who don't know me, this is Minister LaDawn speaking. And again, I'm traveling this week. I'm actually up in Sunnyvale, California, having a good time in training. And I am still, you know, overcoming some sicknesses or illness that I've had for a couple of weeks. But we are so excited for you guys to be joining us this evening. I've just been elated with this series that we have going on. And if you guys have been with us since the beginning, you know that this has been some awesome information, some awesome material. Of course, even Coach D and I have been taking notes about the things that we've been learning and just this new level of awareness, this new level of being propelled into taking over and managing our future, managing where we want to be, managing getting to that purpose and that process that God has for us, and not letting life situations manage us. And so most of you who have been with us throughout this series, I'm sure you have your notebooks ready because you know we're going to ask you to grab your notebooks. I hope that you have your pens already, because tonight is going to be an awesome show. We're going into finances. And I find that whenever you talk about finances, for those who feel like they have money, those who feel like they don't have money, it's always such a touchy, touchy subject. So we're hopeful that, again, the information that we're bringing to you throughout the series, but for tonight especially, that you're going to have some breakthroughs when it comes to the area of your finances, because what some of the things that I've learned is that finances can control so much of your life, just from the fears of different ailments that come along with not being able to manage your finances properly. So tonight is going to be an awesome night. You don't want to not take notes, so please take a moment to grab your pens, grab your notebooks, grab your girlfriends, grab your mates if you have any, so that we can begin to start managing our finances properly. Is that right, Coach T?
That is right. That is right. You know, this is an area where a lot of people miss the mark. It's in their finances. And then they miss the mark in their finances. But another thing, too, this is an area where a lot of people put a lot of importance on. And sometimes I believe, you know, that the importance that people put on it is probably overly important. And we're going to even talk about that on tonight. We, you know, about what God say about laying up our treasures. Some of us will work 2 and 3 jobs to live the lifestyle that we want to live, to drive the cars we want to drive, to live in the homes we want to live in, to send our kids to the schools we think are necessary. And we'll do all of that to our detriment. You know, we'll be sick in our bodies. We'll have estranged relationships with our spouses and our children because we couldn't be there for them because we were too busy trying to make a life for them that we lost life. I'm going to say that, make a life for them that we lost life. So we really need to put money in its proper perspective. And we really need to understand what is money, because we, you know, what is it really? What's the true intention of money, and how do we prioritize it? Where do we put it? What level of, you know, do we put it on? Minister LaDawn, you might could share. I'm not sure when I think about the hierarchy of life, when it starts doing that, you know, talking about that, does it even mention money?
It does. When we talk about the hierarchy of success, we talk about peace of mind. We talk about health and energy. We talk about worthy goals, financial freedom, loving relationships. And there's a couple other steps that I'm hoping will readily come to mind, but definitely money is in there, because when you hit that financial freedom, that's when you feel like you have more liberty and more freedom to be able to do the things, like achieve your worthy goals in life, do the traveling that you want to do, or even be able to donate. And money doesn't take over or control your time. And, you know, previously in this series, we learned that time, our time is not, it's a conversion of our energy. And it's actually, it should convert into money or convert into relationships. Our time is not to just be squandered or given away freely. And so when money controls your time, money actually controls your life. And so we want to make sure that we are managing our finances and our finances are not managing us. And we do have a guest that is scheduled to be on this evening. We're hoping that she will be able to make it. There's some challenges because she is a nurse and she had some emergencies that arose, but we're hopeful that she will be joining us this evening. And even if she doesn't join us, we are prepared to give you some information to help you start on the way to better managing your finances. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So we're going to just kind of get started. I found something, and it speaks about how to climb the hierarchy of success. And you might want to write this down, because we're not going to go deep into this. But I just want maybe you to write it down, because there may be conversations about it throughout. Again, Minister LaDon said that we do have a special guest that's going to come in, you know, hopefully make it in. So we're looking forward to this, because she has such an anointing on her life dealing with finances. So I really hope that she's able to make it. But it says how to climb the hierarchy of success. And it has number one is attitude. Number two is approach. Number three is goals. Number four is strategy. Number five, tactic. And number six is execution. So attitude, approach, goals, strategy, tactic, and execution. And you might just want to note those down. You know, we have access in this day and age to technology. You could find out about anything through Google. It's so much things you can find out through the internet. It's nothing that you can't find. Even for those of you that don't know scripture, if you don't know scripture, all you got to do is Google it. You could Google the first words of what you think, or you could put, what does the Bible say about money? What does it say about depression? What does it say about this? And then it gives you scriptures that you could study and read and relate to. So I'm going to step back, and we're gonna just try to lay some foundations for you until our special guest gets here. Let me just stay on top of things and make sure. So if you know, until she gets here, we're gonna lay some foundations. Minister LaDon, is there a particular scripture you want me to start with so that you could break it down? I one of the ones that keeps sticking in my mind, and I want to say it may be, Matthew 6:19, and I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to step back, and Minister LaDon, you can share what your thoughts are on that. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19, I love this, I love it, and I'm going to be reading from NIV. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 actually says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow, that's a powerful scripture.
It definitely is. There's a couple of different points and aspects I love about that scripture, and then we're going to go into the signs and symptoms of fear of poverty. But the first is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, when we talk about finances and we talk about money, one of the things is, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, your idea or your perception of money and what how it affects your life will control or help to navigate how you operate with money. If you have a fear of being poor, we've seen it with the market crash, we've seen it with the real estate crash, where all of these people, these wealthy people, had so much money, and when they lost their money, they started killing themselves and they started killing their family because of that fear of poverty. And we say, well, how can a rich person have a fear of poverty? We think that usually poor people have a fear of poverty. But a fear of poverty doesn't mean that you're poor or that you're rich. It just it will help you to understand how you use your money or how you perceive money and how money affects your life and the way that you act. One of the things that I've learned about money and is that we can begin unless you position yourself. We talked about position earlier on in the series, but unless you position yourself to operate in good character, operate in wisdom, and operate in integrity, you're not going to be whole. And so even when it comes to your finances, if you don't position yourself to operate in good character when it comes to your finances, you'll find that you have a lot of bad habits, but those bad habits don't only affect your finances, they affect different areas of your life. We talked earlier about how finances can affect your relationships, your marriages with your spouses. Coach Steve said that just a few moments ago. We talked about how you do in your finances or how well you do or not do in your finances can affect your relationships with your children. They can affect your relationship in your job. Not only that, they start to affect you mentally. It affects you emotionally. It affects you environmentally. It affects you physically. You begin to stress out. And so you find yourself not operating in good character. You find yourself not operating in wisdom. You find yourself not operating in integrity. There are people who've been on their jobs for years, and, you know, their bosses have found them trustworthy. Their coworkers have found them trustworthy. And then all of a sudden they start getting into struggling situations when it comes to paying rent or paying bills. And what happens is they start maybe stealing from the job. And they may not call it stealing at first. They may call it borrowing. They may call it, oh, I'm owed this because I put so much time in on this job, or, you know, my job doesn't pay me as much as my job should be paying me. And then you start operating out of integrity. And once you start operating out of integrity, you start negotiating with yourself. You start negotiating with your integrity level. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you guys some of the signs of the symptoms of a fear of poverty, because as we go on through this series tonight, you're going to be able to find where you fall in and find out if this fear of poverty is hovering over your life, if it's affecting how you do things. Because sometimes when we have a fear of poverty, we won't even get into relationships or get out of bad relationships because we want to have that security, that so-called security. And that security is a false security. Like I said earlier, in, what was it, 2008 when the market crashed and the real estate crash? And so all of these
right.
people who felt like they were so secure with the money that they had, their money was wiped out, and now they're killing themselves, and not only killing themselves, there were people who were killing their entire family. And
wow.
so we're going to
yeah.
talk about the symptoms of poverty. And some of the first symptoms that we're going to talk about, I hope you guys have your pens and you're ready. One of the symptoms of poverty is indifference. If you find yourself with a lack of ambition, you have mental and physical laziness or no initiative, no imagination, you find yourself unenthusiastic, you have little self-control or little toleration, that is a symptom of a fear of poverty. And you might say, well, how can that be a symptom of a fear of poverty? And if I'm wealthy, then I do have ambition, or I do have, I'm not lazy. But again, if that money is gone, are you still ambitious? Are you still operating in a place where you're not mentally lazy? We talked about the signs of fear earlier on in the series, a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about how fear will lead to doubt. It'll lead to laziness, or what we call "I'm tired." You come home and you're just tired all the time. But if you find yourself operating in indifference to most things, that is one of the symptoms of a fear of poverty. If you're indecisive, it's not easy for you to make decisions. You're always looking at someone else to help you make decisions or make decisions for you. A lot of times that comes from the fear of poverty. If you operate in doubt, and sometimes that doubt is disguised as every time you're approached in a challenging situation, you make excuses or you make alibis to cover up different reasons why you do what you do. An example, you're on your job and your boss is asking you, why are you always late? Well, I'm late because this happened, and you need to understand I have my child, and my child has to get off at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I have to get up, and I have to make sure that my child is prepared. Well, you knew all of this when you took the job. Or maybe as things began to change, you knew that you had to put systems or steps in place in order for you to manage these things properly, but you're not managing these things properly. And one of the things I want to share as I continue is that these symptoms of a fear of poverty have been taken from a book written by Napoleon Hill. So you can find these if you're finding it hard to follow along. You can find this in his book, and you can read more about it. So we talked about indecision. We talked about doubt, where you explain away or you apologize for your failures. You always find yourself apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If you have envy or criticism of other people's success, I found that earlier on, before I started learning about these different symptoms, and before we started going into these series, I have friends and I have sisters and family mates who would be considered more successful than I am, according to my perception, and maybe according to other people's perception. And so if I found them talking about, oh, I just bought this new house, or I just bought this new job, and I would have to question myself if there would be something that arose in me that said, oh, well, you got that new house because you only have to pay such and such for your rent, or you have two people in your household. I only have one person in my household, so, you know, that's why it takes me longer to do certain things. That was the explaining away. That was the making excuses. That was the making the alibis. But it also was criticism and envious of other people. If you find yourself worrying a lot, that's also a fear of it's a symptom of a fear of poverty. You find fault with others. Everything is everybody else's fault. You have a tendency to spend beyond your income. We're very undisciplined when we have a fear of poverty. We spend beyond our income. We find ourselves having to borrow from month to month or stretch a dollar, stretch a dime. They would say, there's no saying rob Peter to pay Paul or beg, borrow, and steal. If you have a neglect of your personal appearance or you tend to scowl or frown or you abuse alcohol and drugs, if you're nervous all the time or you lack poise and self-confidence, if you're overcautious, if you procrastinate, these are all signs or symptoms of a fear of poverty. I know that was a mouthful. I know that was a lot. If you have any questions, I want to let our – go ahead.
No, okay, studio audience, but I got a bunch of questions.
What?
Can you go down that list without – I mean, like, just the base of the list? Like, I know you gave each thing and then you gave examples, but can you just go through each one, like indecisive, doubt, worry, procrastination, living above means.
Yes.
I mean, like, can you just go, okay.
Yes. Indifference, lack of ambition.
Okay, so indifference, lack of ambition.
Yes. Mental and physical laziness. No enthusiasm. Lack of self-control or lack of discipline. We talked about indecisive, doubt, worry, spending beyond your income, neglect of personal appearance, abuse of alcohol and drugs, overcaution, procrastination, lack of poise and self-confidence, and then anything else I was giving information according to. Or elaborating
okay.
on.
Okay.
You know, a couple of other things I want to say is anxiety. I think that we talked about confidence level because we talked about lack of self-confidence. Your commitment level.
Okay, well, I have a question because that's a lot of things. So are we saying that if one of those things exists or is there a series of those things? And I say that because I'm sure many of us on this call deal with at least one of these or more. And so my question would be is, because when I listen to this list, I'm like, dang, I'm poor. You know, I'm like, dang, I'm poor because I can see a few things on here that, you know, that I – struggle with or deal with. And so, I mean, definitely an eye-opener because I wouldn't have thought that I had a poverty, you know, mentality. So, again, is this like because you deal with one of these or because you deal with two of these or is this saying these are a series of things that are combined that will
what is
define?
What it's saying is that it's symptoms. And so it's just like if you have a cold, if you have an illness, and you start coughing, some people might say, well, my cough is because my allergies are kicking up. And other people might say, you know, my cough is because of this or my cough is because of that. But then when you add more into your coughing and your sneezing, or you're coughing and you have a runny nose, you start looking at the symptoms to say, this is more than just my allergies are kicking up. I need to look at this and find out exactly what it is so that I can get to the root of the cause and take care of the root of this, where these symptoms are coming from. Because you don't want to treat the symptoms, you want to treat the illness, the true illness. And so if you find, and this is, the list that I gave you doesn't mean that you're poor. It means that you have a fear of poverty. And when you have a fear of poverty, what happens is money or finances begins to control how you live your life. It begins to control your sense of security. It begins to control your peace of mind. It can control your level of trust in God and in people. It controls your level of freedom or your level of liberty. And so you want to address these symptoms. If you have, you know, at least three of these symptoms that I just spoke of, you really need to find out what is your perception of money, and you need to start managing it accordingly so that what happens if you lose your job? If you were to lose your job today, would that mean that you now lose your peace of mind? Would that now mean that you're struggling with your trust level in God? Would that now mean that you're in a place where you're feeling angry or your integrity level is being challenged? And if you won the lottery today, how does that affect you? Does that now mean, okay, I'm going to stay away from my mom because I know she's going to ask me for this amount of money. Well, I'm going to stay away from so-and-so because they're all going to come out of the woodwork, so I'm just going to make sure nobody can contact me. And now you're becoming being reclusive when it comes to your relationship with others. You know, and there are some people, you know, who have relatives who, you know, expect to inherit money, and how do they live their life? Coach D, you and I have had several conversations about people that we know when their parents had passed away, the whole family was at each other's throats because of what they inherited or what they thought was there or would be there. But nobody was around taking care of people before the person passed away. Nobody helped support each other. And so, again, we have to find out how is this image of how is our perception of money affecting our lives? You know, money is really paper chips. And money has taken different forms throughout time. Before it was stones, little rocks, little beads that people would trade. And these beads or these paper chips, wood chips, because you cut down trees and, you know, you pound the wood into pulp, stretch it and make paper and send it on to another process. This is controlling how we live our life. This is controlling our peace of mind, our joy, our level of freedom. And so definitely you want to find out, are any of these symptoms showing you that you have a fear of poverty? Because we're not only talking about fear of poverty this evening, we are going to talk about how, now that we understand what our perception is according to our finances and how that perception affects the rest of our life, what do we do at this point? I'm living paycheck to paycheck. But if I should lose my paycheck tomorrow, how will that affect the way that I live the rest of my life? Amen. And if you have any questions, I want to tell our listening audience, if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to dial one on your dial pad. Or if you have any comments, press one on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or you have a comment, and they will be able to bring you on so that we can answer your question or comment. And no question is a dumb question, so don't sit there and not get help while we're having this discussion. And if you have a comment, it may be something that might help somebody else on this call.
Amen. Well, while we were waiting to see if our studio audience have any questions, I thought I would take us to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13. And, I thought I was going to take us there, but a little technical difficulties here. So, Minister LaDon, you know, what you said was very enlightening based on the symptoms, because, and I say that to say, we all know or we've experienced or we've heard of, you know, you got a lot of people that's winning lotteries, $1 million, you know, multi-million-dollar lotteries. And just as many of them that win those lotteries, they're saying that within a year they're poor, they're broke again. And that they're broke again. I'm sorry for the distraction. So that you guys won't think that there's incompleteness. We're flowing here. We're going to continue to flow. We're having some technical difficulties, but we are going to continue to flow. It appears that we have guests that cannot get into the studio. And but saying all that to say, you know, I think that's the poverty mentality that's spoken of, is because you got a lot of people that become millionaires, but because they haven't changed their mindset and they haven't changed their heart, because the heart is linked up to the mind. You know, the heart is the mind of man. And because they haven't changed and they haven't been transformed, they basically boozle off all their money. And I could often say, you know, you hear people that's praying, people, you know, pray to God daily. There's people that pray for finance, you know, for finances, and they're wondering why am I struggling? Why am I going from check to check? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that as it pertains to finances? And I honestly believe what you said has so much truth, because of the fact that even God knows. He knows the one that's going to handle it and the ones that's not. You know, he speaks about the Bible. I didn't realize that there's 120 scriptures about finances and greed in the Bible. And so that means when you got something that's repetitive, that means that there's an importance on it. When you see things in the Bible that's constantly being talked about, it's important to God. And if it's important to God, it should be important to us. So how we deal with our finances, how we utilize our finances, even in the Bible talks about investment, when he talks about the talents, and he gives you gives you the example of three men, and how the rich man, the master, left each one of these men with a portion of something. And he told you how each man invested. And it was the third man that didn't invest. He took what he had, and out of fear. And if you think about all the things that Minister LaDon spoke of, are signs and symptoms of fear. Well, that man had indifference. He was indecisive. He had no enthusiasm. You remember he said, well, you take from fields that don't belong to you, and I didn't want you to get mad at me, so I just decided not, you know, I'm being, I mean, if you listen to the story, it's so many of these things that Minister LaDon listed that this man was operating in as a result of his fear. Because when you take all of these, you could name all, you could take one name for all of the things that Minister LaDon listed, and the one name that encompasses all of these things is fear. And he was in fear. Because he was in fear, he buried his one talent. And when the man came back, the guy thought, oh, I'm doing good. I'm going to just give you back what you gave to me. But the man said, I left this as an investment. I was looking for ROI, return on investment. I was looking for that to multiply. So now, not by a multiplying, I gave you one talent, but when I came back, you should at least gave me two, because if you would have gave me two, then I would have one, and you would have made a profit for yourself. But the guy didn't have he was feared, didn't allow him to invest like the other two guys did. So I'm saying that to say is that don't think for one minute that finances and money is not important to God, but it's not important to him the same way it's important to us. God uses money as a lesson. He uses money for a purpose. And his money purpose, you know, if God causes you to succeed or financially, he's not doing that for you. He's not doing that so you could live in a house on a hill overlooking the ocean. Now, if you get a chance to do that, that's a plus. But that's not why he's doing it. He's doing it because he has a purpose and a plan, and he wants you to be able to meet the basic needs that you need to do so that you could go out and do what he's called you to do, so that you could go out and do ministry. Because at the end of the day, God don't care about you driving a Porsche. He don't care what size, how many square footage house that you lived in. He don't care about if you were able to buy designer clothes, because in his word it tells us in Matthew, you know, 25, it talks about the Great Commission, and it talks about what he cares about most is us going out and telling people about the gospel. And so he gives us witty ideas and tools and resources in order to allow us to do that. Amen?
Yeah, you know, I love how you talked about, you know, what's in our hearts, because and I'm sure most of us have heard of the saying or even the book, as a man thinketh, so is he. And so, you know, whatever is in your heart is what you're going to live out, because that's your belief. That's your belief system. We talked earlier in this series a couple of weeks ago, we talked about believe, behave, become. Whatever you believe is how you behave, and that is exactly what you become. And so you have to have good practices. That's why we talked about positioning yourself, because when you begin to position yourself, even when if you win the lottery or don't win the lottery, when you position yourself, the money that you make now, a lot of us feel like we may be at poverty level, below poverty level, need to make more or want to make more. And so, but we're not positioning ourselves to have our money make money for us. We're not taking care of our credit. We're not managing our bank accounts. We're not managing, we don't have a savings, or we don't have investment, or we're not having good practices regarding and surrounding our finances. Or we may not have good habits. And again, that's living from paycheck to paycheck. And you might say, Minister LaDon, well, how can I not live from paycheck to paycheck? We talked about the integrity box earlier on in the series. We, as especially as Americans, we have a tendency to want things now. I want it now. I want it now. But what I've learned through my personal mentors and coaches, Coach Allen Hattie Hollingsworth, is I've learned a new way of thinking about now, and that now is our needs, our obligations, and our wants. And sometimes we let our wants dictate what our needs and obligations are. And if we would let go of some of those wants and take care of our needs and our obligations, which God has already taken care of our needs, but take care of our obligations integrally, then we have more freedom. We're positioning ourselves. We begin to position ourselves financially to not be beholden to that job that we're on, to not be beholden to credit cards or what other people's thoughts about us are when it comes to the type of car we drive. I share a lot on this program about stepping away from corporate. And when I stepped away from corporate, I had more zeros in my bank account. And when I say more zeros, that means I did not have one zero or negative zero in my bank account. And so in stepping away from corporate, I was like, okay, I need to make more money. I'm not making enough money. But I learned how to manage living off of less. And when I stepped away, I thought I needed so much more. And also in stepping away and thinking I needed so much more, there was that transitioning period of I needed so much more to how do I make what I have work. And I began to learn how to make what I had work, and I've become so much more happier and less fearful, less filled with anxiety, because I was unhappy for at least 2 years, and it controlled everything that I did for at least 2 years. And don't get me wrong, I had savings. I had money set aside, but the habits that I had of spending, single mom, four children, we would go and sit down at a meal, and it wasn't anything to say, okay, let's spend $200 or $300 just on this meal tonight alone because this is what we want. And I had to learn to backtrack from that. And it was years of being able to do that. But now that I've learned how to use my money more wisely, from that transitioning period of not having the same amount of money, meaning I'm going through my savings and now I'm at the end of my rope and I'm living like I need something to come in fast, asking to borrow money from here, asking to borrow money from there, and money just being in control of everything, to where I said, you know what, let me start setting things aside. I know how much money I bring in. I know if I can afford to live where I am living. Or if I can't afford, do I need to move? And moving is expensive. But you begin to now look at your resources and manage your resources instead of your resources managing you. Your rent comes around every month and you start panicking. Your rent doesn't change. It's due on the same day every month, and it's the same amount. And yet, maybe 10 days you good in a month, and then the other 15 to however many days, now you're panicking. You're panicking all of a sudden because you're wondering how you're going to get it paid because you just spent more money on a car note that you really didn't even need. But you like driving around in a BMW, and don't get me wrong, I love driving a BMW, but my BMW is sitting in my garage at this moment. You know what I'm saying? I had to start managing things a better way. I had to start managing things a better way, and now my money doesn't control me. And I have friends who are, you know, getting into the credit business, and for those of you who want to fix your credit, we have our guests who does that, and we have other people that we're in contact with and where we can begin to help you have put good practices in place. Most people think that credit doesn't matter. Your credit does matter. Your credit does matter. Because if you have poor credit, it's a reflection of being undisciplined. And you might say, well, I went through a bad marriage or I went through a divorce and that's how I got to my credit. But what attempts have you made to take care of your credit? When's the last time you talked to your the people that you owe? These different accounts. When's the last time you made an attempt to contact them or to make a payment? That's lack of discipline, and it's also lack of integrity. Then when the phone rings, you start dipping and dodging or lying. This is, you know, your phone rings, they say, well, can I speak to LaDon? Who's this? She's not here. Leave a message. And, again, we talked about how finances not only affect
you know, how you manage your finances not only affects your finances, but it spills over into every other area of your life. When you manage one quadrant of your life and you don't manage it well, it shows up in different other areas of your life. It shows up on your job. Are you on time to your job? Do you operate at your full capacity and your full ability on your job? Because if you think they're not paying you enough, or you think they're not paying you well, which it was enough when you took that job, but now all of a sudden, because of how you are managing your finances, it's not enough. You start operating at a lower level of integrity. Well, I'm just going to be late, or I'm going to call off.
You know, let me, I want to share, because you know me, I always want to just put scripture out there. Philippians chapter 4. And 19, well, actually, I'm going to start at 11 through 13, actually. And what I like about this scripture, because it gives us instruction. It really does give us instruction on what we should be doing and how we should be doing it. And, I mean, and everybody that's listening, I know you. Some of you may not, you know, really be into scripture. Some of you may not be, in, you know. But I like to put this out there because I want us to know that we got some governing points. We got some things that could govern us that says, hey, do you need to, it's almost like instructions to success. And how many of us don't follow the instructions? And then we wonder why we're not successful. And I'm not speaking when I say successful that you're going to be rich, you know, that you got to have all these things. And I think that's where we make the mistake because we get caught up in the things that the world shows, you know, and God is not caught up in the world. And so I wanted to read Philippians because I found it interesting. It's going to, you know, go with a lot what Minister LaDon is sharing with us on tonight. But Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 19, actually, and it says, I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute because content, whatever the circumstances, I don't think that means, as Minister LaDon was saying, that you just get in a funk, you know, that you just in a bad situation. I don't think that means that you go around not paying your bill. Hey, I ain't got the money to pay. They just ain't going to get paid, and I'm not going to worry about it. I don't think that that's what it meant. I think what it means is that being content where you are. I think that could also mean not living above your means, you know, being content whatever the circumstances. There may be some dry seasons. You know, your finances may get a little tight. And that's not a time to fall apart. That's not a time to lose your mind, as Minister LaDon said earlier. But it says, be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I know I've been in abundance. And, you know, I used to say this thing, and I don't know, hopefully I wasn't cursing myself, but I used to say it's either feast or famine, you know, abundance. Are not enough. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him, Christ, who gives me strength. So in other words, the key, what I'm saying in this is that when I talk about the contentment doesn't come from a point of lackadaisicalness, but it comes from a point of knowing that you're in God's hands, knowing that you could trust God to meet all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, knowing that at the end of the day that he said He's never going to leave or forsake you, knowing that He's going to take care of it. And being able to reflect back on the time that He brought you through before, and the time before that when He brought you through before, and the time before that, those touchstones. And so I believe what Paul is saying in this is that I've had, I have not, but I'm not going to get all, I'm not going to lose my mind behind it. I'm going to be content. I'm going to be okay because I'm trusting in something that I know I can do all things through this strength that is given to me. And then it goes on to say, yet it was good of you, let me pass through, we want to pass through, we want to pass through, and I'm going to skip down from 13, I'm going to skip down to 19. And I said it already, because, and I slipped it in there, but that's 19, it says, and my God will meet or supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So we got to get to a point in this that we trust God. That we trust God in every situation, and we trust in Him. We're trusting Him because we're following the rules. Does that make sense? We're trusting Him because we're following the rules. Because I hear people talk about this false trust. Oh, I trust God. Well, don't say you trust God in your financial situation when you're going out and you're making decisions that you did not seek God to get confirmation in making decisions. And we've all been there where we wanted something so bad, we just go out and we purchase it. We go out and buy things. We go out and buy, you know, new cars or whatever those things are. And we never consulted with God to say, Lord. And we think because we were able to obtain it that God gave it to us. Ooh, I was blessed. God gave me this car, this car. Ooh, it's beautiful. It's the car of my dreams. It's the Maserati. And I mean, he gave it to me. So what the note is $1,500 a month. I know he's going to make a way because he can supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Guess what? That's false trust because that's called a lack of wisdom because you didn't see God in most cases. God did not confirm that to you because I don't believe that God will give you something that he know you are not in a position to afford. He's not going. If God knows your income better than you do, even when you cheat on your tithes and offerings because you say you ain't got no money to do it, which ain't your money anyway, even when you cheat, don't think just because you only put $10 in when you know you're supposed to put $20, that God don't know that. God know what you make. He know what your annual income is. He know what your monthly income is. He know that based on your income and based on all your responsibilities for the month, home, food, shelter, clothing, children, he know you can't afford $1,300 a month on a car. But we'll go get that car anyway. And then when things get tough and we begin to lose things, when like you said, our integrity box began to shrink. So things that we wouldn't normally do, we find ourselves doing because we are now have pushed ourselves into a permanent survival mode. So now I'm in survival mode. So I'm calling and begging people for money every month, like Minister LaDon said. I'm finding myself doing things I would not ordinarily do. I'm in the store now because I got this $1,300 card. No, guess what? I ain't got no food at home. So now I find myself in the store changing price tags so I can afford to get what I need to get or slipping something into my pocket or getting the wrong change back. And instead of in integrity letting the person know they gave you the wrong change, you're doing something different. So, you know,
Colin,
I think I could stop that. Yeah, I think I could stop that. I think Matthew, we read from Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 30, was it? Yeah, and I think 19 through 34 or 24. And then we read Philippians 4, 11 through 13 and then 19. And I tell you, those two scriptures says it all right there. I mean, it just really does.
Yeah.
About what God said about money. I'm sorry.
No,
I was just saying, I think it says what God says about money, and I was going to say amen, you know?
Amen. You know, and even when you speak about being content in any circumstances, when you have good habits,
and you have good practices in place, you are content. I recently met a new friend while I've been down here in Sunnyvale, and I tell you, she is just such a content woman. And I find myself admiring so much about her. But some of the things is, no matter what she's doing, she seems to have this peace about her. And I just met her, so I don't, you know, it could be she's peaceful at this point in time, but she seems like she carries it with her consistently, and I find her to be content. But I find that she has good practices and good habits that she has in place. And so, you know, maybe you don't make the money that you would like to make, but maybe you're cutting coupons because you know it saves you money here and there. And that money that it saves you, you're now able to let that money become free to be able to apply somewhere else. And when you have peace of mind, when you are content, it's like there's, it takes so much to ruffle your feathers. It takes so much to take you out of this place of integrity. And we want to remain in that place of integrity. So when you're content, you begin to find that you feed your hope, you feed your beliefs, and you starve your fear. You're instead of running to the fast food consistently, you're going to the store and you're making purchases that will last you throughout the week. Instead of buying all of this junk food, you're buying food that is more healthier and maybe a little bit of sweet so that you can enjoy what you want to enjoy, but you can keep yourself healthy at the same time or eat for a longer period of time. Pardon me, I'm still recovering, so you'll hear me drinking or coughing every now and then. But again, when you begin to put those good habits and those good practices in place, you can be content. And I want to just tell everybody, you know, what happens to a body when you're well-fed and you're nourished well? You're healthy. You live longer, potentially. You don't have to worry about different illnesses, different sicknesses. But what happens when you're malnourished or you're starved? You now have to worry about diseases. You now have to worry about death. And this is what we're doing when if you look at your finances like a living, breathing body, are your finances well-fed and nourished, or your financial practices? We're not going to say finances. We're going to say your financial practices. Is it well-fed? Is it nourished? Or is it malnourished and starving? Instead of, I had a friend who did this post, and he said, you know, that $400 weave you're buying, or the weave with the dress, with the drinks and the going out, now you spent $400, but that $400 could have gone to fixing your credit. Now you're in a worse position than you were in the first place, because that money just went out and it's not coming back to nourish or reinvest or bring you to a greater level. It became a liability instead of an asset, and money is supposed to be an asset, not a liability. But you've made it a liability. Right. It's gone out instead of, you know, maybe fixing your credit or paying a bill that you've been worried about. So, you know, let's begin to manage let's begin to position ourselves better. I hear so many different people talking about the state of the economy today, and I won't go too into that because I'm really not supposed to. But if you're really worried about the state of you would not be worried about the state of the economy if you have better practices and better habits. Because even those people who lost their money in the market crash, those people who had good practices and good habits were able to maintain themselves more and longer and to reposition themselves. But those people who did not have good practices and good habits, they may have had all their investments in one place and now it's lost. And they couldn't have had good practices and good habits in place if now they're beginning to kill themselves and kill their families. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so, again, if you have any questions or if you have any comments, because we are definitely past the end of our show, but if you have any questions or any comments, please press 1 on your dial pad. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know if this information has been useful for you this evening. Let us know if you want us to go over anything or if you're looking for somebody to help you manage your finances, because although our guest was not able to come on this evening, we are going to rebook her. We can't exactly tell you when because, of course, it'll be according to her schedule, but we don't want you guys to miss out on any of this this information that is escalating us into better positioning ourselves to reach our goals and our visions. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Yes, we will be rescheduling that because she brings the expertise that that we don't know in reference to getting your FICO scores together and investments. You know, when you think about, I'm not even going no more. We are late. We are late, so I'm not going to bring up another subject. But we want to thank you all for joining us on tonight. You could have been doing 1,000 things on Tuesday evening, but instead you chose to join us here at Woman to Woman, and for that we are grateful. We appreciate you. We appreciate the continual support, and we're just praying that we're able to continue to bring quality programming to you, quality guests to you. Anything, there's peaks and valleys, and we understand that, but we just thank our listening audience that has listened in, that has been there, that has supported each Tuesday and every Thursday. We got some exciting things coming up. Let me stop saying We got some exciting things coming up on the MCD Network. We are constantly, myself and Minister LaDon are constantly knocking brains, scratching our head, trying to figure out programs and shows. And we got some exciting, we're getting ready to add to our family of programs. And I am excited about that. So all I would say to you all is stay tuned because we're going to start having a we have a question from our studio audience. Caller, area code 510, last 47896. Welcome to Woman, you're live.
Hello, and thank you. I just wanted to comment. I know it's late and you're trying to close out, but I just wanted to comment that this was a good program tonight. We all have to deal with money management issues for the rest of our lives. It's like a constant. You got to be equipped to deal with your money for the rest of your life. So I'm anxious to hear from the expert. Sorry she couldn't make it tonight, but I will tune in when she comes on board. But tonight was like a part one because it laid some foundation and groundwork for us to all be thinking about until we get expertise on the line. But I appreciate you. You raised some good points about your money and believing and having faith and holding on and expecting that God is going to provide and make a way for you to have everything your heart desires. But it starts with you. And you really got to listen for that voice. Sometimes you have to really silence yourself and don't talk about your money or what you plan to do with it. You know, let God speak to you and let him guide you and let him give you the courage, because it takes courage to do the things you want to accomplish with your money. So I appreciate the talk tonight, and I look forward to the next part two.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you too for faithfully listening in every Tuesday. You've been one of our biggest supporters, and we just love you and appreciate you, caller.
Thank you.
So that was definitely wisdom. That's the second time I heard that, what the caller said. She had mentioned sometimes you just got to be quiet and sit in silence. Now, that's the second time I heard that today, Tuesday. On Sunday, I was sitting with my mentor as we gazed upon nothing but open pasture, and he was ministering to me, and he said, Denise, when is the last time you just sat in silence in the presence of God? And so that's something I truly believe in, but I had to stop and think. And as Minister LaDon was giving the list of things that shows poverty, poverty is not always about money. I just got a revelation, because as you were saying that, I was feeling a little heartbroken because I thought, well, I'm dealing with all of this stuff right now, at least quite a bit of it. Out of a list of 20 items, there's 15 of these items I'm dealing with in this now. And I'm talking about now. And Ecclesiastes tells us about season. So I started saying, wow, I got a poverty mentality, you know. That's what I got to thinking. I was like, that's not true, because my finances is in order. Your girl's finances is in order. And then just when the caller began to speak, I got a revelation knowledge. And the revelation knowledge is that sometimes we could be poor in our spirit. Sometimes we could be poor in our emotion. You know, so it's not, poverty is not just a place of financial, but it could be, you could be poor in your spirit. Coach D, what do you mean by be poor in your spirit? You could be poor in your spirit because you could get so busy. You could get like Martha. And Jesus loved Martha, and he loved Mary. But Mary knew how to be still. Mary knew how to be still in his presence. Martha didn't. She got busy. And as a result of her getting busy, she dealt with doubt, indecisive, worry. She was worried about why Mary wasn't helping her. She was overcautious. She had anxiety. Yeah. Ooh, that's a message.
Yeah.
And so when we're not in the presence of God, and we don't know how to rest in his presence, as Mary did, we become Martha. And it don't mean God don't love us, but we could get so busy doing ministry. We could get so busy doing life. We could get so busy doing mommy. And get so busy being an employee or the employer that we get so busy that we become Martha's. And Martha's, the Martha spirit will birth all of these symptoms of poverty in our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, I'm done. Look, I dropped the mic. Can I drop the mic? Did y'all hear the mic drop? Glory! I just got delivered in this on this call tonight. From the beginning to the end, I needed it. Oh, gosh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Okay.
So anyway, Minister LaDon, I don't know if you want to close us out in prayer, or maybe our caller might want to. I don't know.
Well, if our caller would like to, I definitely want to make sure that she has the opportunity to. Would you like to close us out in prayer, caller, or did you want to leave that to one of us?
Am I still on the line?
You are.
I had no idea. I thought I had bounced out of the queue. Heavenly Father, we come before you, giving you thanks and praise, worshiping you, glorifying your name. Thank you, Lord, for these two wonderful ladies who come before us every Tuesday to tell us information, to guide us, to lead us your way, using your word to make us understand. Now, Lord, tonight, let us take with us belief in you, and recognizing your presence in our lives, where it is you and only you who can do all things abundantly in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And amen.
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 Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Well, that was awesome.
Thank you, caller. And I'm going to, Minister LaDon, if you just want to, we just had a prayer, and if you want to say goodbye to the people, I am done.
Definitely, I do want to say goodbye, and hopefully we can reschedule our guest within the next 2 weeks. We will be posting on our Facebook page, Woman to Woman, MCD Network, and if you're personal friends of either myself, Minister LaDon, or Coach D, you will find posts as well, and we'll keep you updated. So make sure you go on to Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. And Coach D, of course, will give you the addresses that you can find us on there. But if you are interested in keeping up with this series, or maybe you've missed one of the programs in the series, you will be able to find us, and you will be able to tune into maybe a previous program and tune into our future programs. We thank you all for all of your support, those of you who have been with us, those of you who are new and just now joining us. We appreciate you one and all, and we look forward to having you back with us here next Tuesday, same time, same place, and, of course, this Thursday, because Processing the Pain is this Thursday.
Amen, and amen. Thank you, and have a good evening.
Woman to woman. Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of light we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Woman to woman,
woman to woman, songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy.
Woman to woman.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Woman.